Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
It's another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast. Before I start this one, however, some of you would be aware of what I do in my real job and my involvement with this charity, Perennial. It's a privilege and an honour always to be in her company. Anita Bates, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
For those who are unaware, what is your job title and what does that involve?
I'm Director of Marketing and Fundraising for Perennial. So for the last 6 years, I've been working at increasing awareness of Perennial, but also increasing our income so we can help more people.
You're not on the Sideshow to ask for money, just to make that crystal clear. I want to cut straight into it because there's something that you mentioned to me about people making the call.
So we help people when they're suffering, usually following a life-changing incident. So there was a chap who broke his leg, a very successful gardener, but when he broke his leg, he was self-employed, had no income. The debts started to increase. He borrowed from his family. He had two small children also that he was looking after. As time went on, he couldn't work. It was a very, very bad break. He was in hospital for a long time in traction, and the debts mounted. He started actually getting depressed and really struggling, and finally called Perennial. We were able to send a caseworker out to visit him in his own home and to provide not only financial support, we also filled in benefits forms for him so that he could actually claim the benefits he was entitled to and really hold his hand and his family hand until he was quite literally back on his feet. It took a year for him to recover from the break, and then it took another year really for him to recover from the depression, but also to recover his business. And he's back working now, he's very successful, and it's been wonderful to see that we've been able to support someone through that difficult time.
When you were talking, you mentioned three things, at least in my head. One was when you think it can't get any worse and somebody comes in and separates and sorts and arranges your accounts. One, which is to stop, maybe to use an analogy, you almost stop the hemorrhaging. Mm-hmm. One. The second thing then is to try and get some money in. The tertiary part, or the bit that we sometimes don't really see, or maybe that the revenue commissioners or the accountants mightn't pick up on, is the depression. You've been working with Perennial longer than I've been aware of Perennial. How bad can that of the mind thing get? And for those of you who are unaware, Perennial, the Gardeners Royal Benevolent Society, or a charity that helps gardeners or people in the horticultural industry, has been on the go for 180 years. That's longer and before the potato famine. It is a really long time. And as I noted to Lee Connolly, a good friend of mine, charities like that are around for that length of time usually exist for a very good reason. And the only thing I know is that Irish and male are two characteristics or traits that allows me to understand that I'm not very good at talking about certain things. I'm very good at gibbering on or talking nonchalantly about things that don't really make sense a lot of the time, but I'm not really great at talking about myself or behind the scenes. Have you come across that? And how, in cases like that, might Perennial be able to help?
That happens a lot. And quite often, a life-changing event will happen and then people will try and manage on their own. And it's not until they really, really get to crisis point that they'll pick up the phone. And quite often it's pride. It's not wishing, as you say, to talk about problems. And actually, if people pick up the phone as soon as the life-changing event happens, then we can really help make sure that that you don't get into debt and your problems don't spiral out of control. So we're trying to work really hard to encourage people to actually just pick up the phone, ask for a bit of advice. It's completely free. It's very confidential. So it will only be you and your caseworker that really know the in-depth detail about the support that you've had. So really don't suffer in silence.
I don't want to get too in detail, which is because you've noted that whoever you may be, whatever age you might be, whatever the circumstances are, again, as you rightly said, it's just a call, you pick up the phone. But have you found that of the mind that it's predominantly male? Have you found that in businesses? I know historically, anyway, nursery businesses were predominantly run or passed down, and farming cases in particular passed down to the son. And so inherently we found that it is a sort of a male-led industry, but also, again, I'll go back and say it, and it's not a badge of honour, we're just terrible at talking about things that we really should know better at talking about. I think it was my accountant who said to me around the time my mum passed away, he said, you know, fellas, well, I must call around and see him for a pint next week, where the ladies tend to knock on the door for his mom. And he said that the house was never empty after his dad passed. It was almost an opposite genetic DNA that just seemed to click in, and I won't say he wasn't concerned about her, but it was a different way of being there for somebody. Does that in any way make sense at all, as silly as I might describe it?
It does. And we do find that men generally are less willing to pick up the phone, talk about their problems, admit that there's a problem. It is really difficult. And I think that actually perennial's more important in lots of ways, because we can help very confidentially so that the family need never know that perennial's in the background they're helping. I read of a case in the paper, actually, where a greenkeeper took his own life, and it was his 20-year-old daughters that were telling the story about how they had no idea that he'd built up all these debts, and the debt he'd taken out, payday loans, which is just a nightmare, and the debts had increased and increased and increased, and he just couldn't see his way out, and he took his own life. And when I read those stories, it makes me feel so sad that he didn't just pick up the phone to perennial, and we would have helped him, and we would have got him out of the dire situation that he was in, and he would still be around for those daughters of his and his grandchildren. And that's just so upsetting, and that's why it's so important we spread the word about perennial and that people do just pick up the phone.
Mama. Big strong man, so I'm going to take a break for about 2 seconds in real time for you listening at home. You just keep listening and we'll be back in a couple of seconds. Just give us a second. I'm still a big strong man, insert joke here. I'm only joking. I'll try my best, but I'm 180 years. I was reading through one of the cemeteries, the records and the causes of death years ago. I was just visiting, honest to God. It was one of them in Glasnevin in Dublin. It's a really good place to go, actually, if you're looking for searching history and that. But when they were noting the causes of death, it was 22 years of age, gangrene, 23 years of age, toothache, 19 years of age. Very simple things as we know them today, but they were 1890 up to, let's say, 1910. And when I was talking with Chris some years ago, Chris Crooker, that is, also works with perennial, I was chatting to her about this, and I was thinking in my head at the time, if I had got a toothache. See, when did perennial start?
1839.
So let's say 50 years later, if I was a head gardener in an estate and I got a toothache or a gangrene or something and died, my family was stuffed.
Yeah.
They were on their own.
Yeah.
Did that sort of sum up your remit then? Is that a fair appraisal? We didn't really have, as we would know it now, inverted commas, mental health, albeit we might have had it then.
Yeah, so so back then we started out because gardeners worked on the big estates in tied accommodation, and when they retired, they were asked to leave so that the new gardeners could take up the residency, and they had nowhere to go. They had no pensions. They often ended up in workhouses or on the street. And so it started up to give retired gardeners a pension back in 1839. And what's wonderful about perennial is that it really has changed over the years. It then started to help people who were working and then their families. It opened up to helping everybody in horticulture. At one point, we had retirement homes so that people could actually have a place to live once they'd left their tied accommodation. But as working practices change, people didn't want to move to Scotland when their friends and family were in the southeast, for example, because that's where there was a room. So again, we changed and we started to offer people grants so that they could actually rent houses more locally. And so really the help that we've provided has changed, and nowadays, as you rightly point out, mental health issues are a really, really big thing. And when we do our client surveys, quite often we have, you know, perennial saved my life.
That's quite a staggering statement when you sit back and think about it. I mean, if you're a trained Coast Guard, for example, it's sort of in your everyday psyche, or that maybe somebody will be in trouble on that occasion, touch wood, it never happens, and you're there. I say for example, but to have somebody who's a gardener, a horticulturist, garden designer, come up to you and say, "You saved my life." That's sort of an unheard of statement, really.
It's very moving.
That's okay. This is sort of like a Jerry Maguire thing. You've now got me twice, and this doesn't happen to me a lot. I'd have to skip through a lot of audio to find out when this last happened to me. And in fact, I'll tell you the first time I ever remember it happening to me was a garden you did at Hampton Court in 2016 with Sherry Carman.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Sherry had just come out of treatment, that I remember it correctly, at, and it was a garden for perennial.
Mm, yes. Yeah. It's just wonderful when garden designers and contractors come together to build the show gardens, because from our point of view, with some of the people working in the industry, we can put press releases out, and the trade magazines are fantastic at supporting us and printing information about perennial. But quite often, the individual self-employed gardeners and tree surgeons work on their own patch. They're not members of trade associations. They don't read the trade press. They don't get involved in social media. And it's really, really difficult to tell them about perennial and the service that we provide. And it's often the people who employ them who know they've had a problem and then say to them, "Look, come on, I've heard of this charity when I was at the Hampton Court Flower Show. Give them a call." And then actually people need that encouragement. So sometimes people know about the charity. The chap I was talking about earlier with the broken leg, he knew about perennial, but he didn't think his problem was bad enough to phone us. And it's quite often the people who employ others, who encourage them to pick up, to call us. Or what we're trying to do is say to people, phone us as soon as the life-changing event happens, or as soon as things start to not feel quite right. Some things are changing. Income doesn't actually cover expenditure. Just phone for some advice at that point, and then it won't spiral out of control, and then we can help so that we can stop those stressful moments occurring where people are starting to think, I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to get out of this, and start turning their thoughts to taking their own life and just escaping from the whole situation. And that just is so sad when we hear of those actions happening.
It can be difficult when you're in the when you're at the bottom of the tunnel and you can't see the light. It can be difficult. Not so much that you, I'm not referencing anybody here, but not so much that you, you know perennial exists, you know your family are there, they tell you every day that they care about you, but your mind is in an entirely different space. And so the real world doesn't matter at all. And so on one hand, from people I know, I'll be very eloquent in how I say this, I can understand from their words to me how making that first call can seem very easy for another or me sitting here now saying, well, the telephone is just there, you just reach across and type in the number. In reality of the mind, that is it's like a massive roadblock that your head just won't let you go through. But the odd time there are people who can, I guess, make that phone call on your behalf, one, two, put their arm around you and say, I know somebody who can eliminate it magically, literally. The angels can come in and make it all disappear. Am I far off the mark on that?
No, not at all. Sometimes it is, I say sometimes, actually it's very common that it's somebody else that encourages the person to get in touch with us. Someone else can call on the person's behalf, but we at Perennial have to feel very confident that that's what the person wants, because sometimes people mean very well and phone us up and say, this person really needs your help, and we get in touch with them and they're not actually aware that the call has been made. So it's really important that, that if someone's calling about somebody else, that it is fully in agreement, but that can happen. But the best thing is always for that individual to call us, because then it just remains very personal and very confident between Perennial and the person that we're helping. As I say, confidentiality is so important. So people that ask for help from our services team, our marketing and fundraising team, don't know who they are unless they've come and told us.
Okay.
And that's really important. So even if people have a good relationship with the marketing and fundraising team, which, may well happen, have been volunteering and supporting Perennial, if they phone the services team, the marketing and fundraising team won't know about it unless they tell us. So you can be very confident to get in touch.
I don't want to give you too much of a... But I'm going to give you a big head. Well, you and Perennial. Hampton, as previously mentioned, you were there and you've built the show gardens. Your stands have been there. Your wonderful shop that do the wonderful bonnet. You know the sun hat bonnets? My mom wore one when she got married in the 60s. A real, I can't remember her name, almost like a John Lennon, Yoko Ono, you know those white suits. Anyhow, I'm off on a tangent. And I noticed the gardening gloves, the flowery ones don't look so great on me because I've got big Irish man hands. You were also at Chelsea with wonderful shop, as I call it. It's absolutely magical. I've never walked away from it and not bought something. And you've got fantastic umbrellas as well, actually. I'm now getting sidetracked. I need to buy presents at this year's Chelsea. This isn't a sales pitch on your behalf, I promise you. If it was a terrible pile of rubbish, I wouldn't be saying this. It's just magical. But Chris Crooker, who works with you, used to have a Twitter profile, and it was this bonnet. And I made some joke with her of recent, and I can't remember what it was. Oh, yeah, she said she's saving it for Cardiff. I'll hold her to that. But in 2019, if people want to go and get in touch with you, or just pop along and say hi, shake hands, and take a leaflet away so they have a contact number so they can stick it up in the canteen at work in their local garden centre or the tree surgeon's or the greenkeeper's office. You're pretty much up and down the length and breadth of the Big Island, as I call it. I live on an island off the coast of England.
Yes, so to celebrate our 180th year this year, we're delighted that we're working with Peter for the Cardiff Show Garden, and we've also got a show garden at the Harrogate Flower Show, and another show garden in the Floral Marquee at Chelsea in the Grand Pavilion. We have the trade stands, as we call them, the lovely shops. Thank you for the plug. That was lovely.
You're welcome.
And we have those at Malvern, at the Malvern Show, at Chelsea, at Hampton Court, Harrogate, and we'll have some things on sale for Cardiff as well. And we're also at Gardening Scotland, and we share a stand there with Scotland's Garden Schemes to tell people about perennial. It's really important that we try and get the message out wherever we can, and we couldn't do that without the marvellous volunteers that come and help us to sell our hats and to talk about the show gardens and just talk about perennial all the time and spread the word with the charity.
It's a gig that I've gone to now for some years, which is your January party for perennial. I know you do the Party for Perennial, which is the January gig that I tend to go to every year. And I think you did it, was it at the end of 2018? You resurrected the old school 1839, you resurrected that dinner where
the festival dinner, it's called.
What was the history with that dinner? I'm sidetracking you now, but now I'm intrigued because I've seen the black and white photographs of it.
Yes, the lovely photos of the men lined up with their beards and moustaches, looking very, very formal in the photos. And historically, the only fundraising the charity did was through the festival dinner. And people like Robert Peel and Charles Dickens came and talked at those dinners. And it was predominantly men. And we decided it was time that we... We've revamped it slightly and brought it into the modern day and brought it back so that we could pay homage to the past but also look to the future and get people together in that more formal setting with the formal auction prizes and so on and so forth. And it's about engaging with people from all walks of life, and we really need to sort of bring everybody into the perennial family. We really want to engage with people so that they know about us and really understand what we do and realise that we're a very, very friendly, approachable charity, that we're the heart of horticulture. We're in the centre of this fantastic industry, and we want people to get involved. So the Party for Perennial is a good old knees up at the beginning of the year and gives us a chance to catch up with our supporters and those people in the industry that can help us to really sort of spread the word throughout the year.
Talk to me a little bit briefly about show gardens and why perennial gets involved and the different messages maybe that people will see in 2019.
With the show gardens, they're just such a fantastic way to increase awareness of perennial, because people come there interested in the garden, obviously, but we can tell a story with the garden, and they get a lot of interest, and we can tell different stories. So at Cardiff this year, we're talking about mental health. At Chelsea, we're celebrating 180 years, but actually it's about looking to the future. And it's inspired by the Lascett Garden, which Sir Roy Strong is kindly leaving to us in his will. And Sir Roy is very much about looking to the future. He said, this isn't a monument to me. If that tree needs chopping down, chop it down and change it. You've always got to look to the future. And that's what perennial does. And so it's celebrating that. And then at Harrogate, It's the Legacy Garden at Harrogate, and it's really emphasising actually how important legacies are. They make up a third of our income at the moment, and it's thanks to people that have had the foresight to leave a gift in their will to Perennial that actually a lot of the people that receive help now and in the future can benefit from the service that we provide.
I wanted to ask you about a good day in the office for you or for the team. I know there's certain things you're not allowed to speak about, but in my case, or in most of the hort industry, you complete a garden and people smile. It's almost like a childlike thing when you make your mum or your dad a Christmas card from the back of the cornflakes box and you get the massive hug. And now at 42, I get to make something that photosynthesizes and people smile, and it really is such a privileged, honored position to be in. But yours is sort of different. Yours is to me like a kind of a Cathy Heathcliff sort of a story. It's not a garden. I won't say it's an unfinished, but it's an entirely different reason to smile or to nod. What is a good day for you?
A good day is when I hear the personal stories from the people that we've helped, and I've heard about how their lives have been changed and improved because we've been there to support them. And I say to support them because people help themselves, but they often just need that helping hand alongside them, and that's what we can give. And then when they not only tell their personal stories, but you see them out with their friends and in the industry and being successful, it's just an amazing, amazing feeling.
I'm going to ask you what is a very difficult question for me, but do you get upset? Like, I've been in hospitals where I've seen nurses cry, and then I look at some of them and I think they're absolutely tough as boots, but I understand why they have to be tough as, and I understand, but I'm a little bit, without getting emotional, but you got my throat twice, and I'm a big lump of a fella, as my mum used to call me. Does it catch you? Does it give you that Jerry Maguire moment? Is that a right way to put that?
It does. It does. The worst is when I read in the paper of situations where people have given up when we could have helped. But when I've seen, for example, the client stories on our website, that are now on our website, when I saw those for the first time, I got through almost a box of handkerchiefs, I'll be honest. It's when I show them in public now, I've seen them lots of times, and I still find it really hard to talk about them afterwards because, I still get that catch in the throat, as you say.
I don't think I'd be very good at your job, Anita. Anita Bates from Perennial, congratulations on your 180th year. It's a pleasure to see you in January at the party. I'll see you this year at Cardiff.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
That's welcome for you at home. We thought about this one. I didn't want to get a gulp in my throat. I'm not the best at that kind of stuff, to be quite honest with you. I don't like rom-coms for a very good reason, etc., etc. But if you do, stick the poster up or make the call, or you know someone who might. Well, that's what they're there for. And as I said before, they're 180 years on the go for a very good reason. We'll see you in Cardiff. Take care. Safe home. God bless. Bye-bye.